This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Listen to us on KPFK, KPFA, and other Pacifica stations, and watch us on Free Speech TV Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. As the U.S.-backed Iraqi effort to oust the Islamic State from its stronghold in Mosul drags on, many are asking the question of how the war strategy is playing out and whether it'll work. But we often forget to remember the broader context of 13 years of violence in Iraq, and that is the war that President George W. Bush launched after the September 11th attacks and the Afghanistan war. It is the war that President Barack Obama continued and tried unsuccessfully to end. It is the war that gave birth to the Islamic State, and sadly, like the Afghanistan war, it is a war that has seemingly no end. Now, a group of anti-war activists who have spent the past decade or more working tirelessly for peace and justice are holding a people's tribunal on the Iraq War in Washington, D.C. over a two-day period on December 1st and 2nd. The producer of the tribunal is my guest, Jody Evans. She is the co-founder and co-director of Code Pink. Jody has been a peace, environmental, women's rights, and social justice activist for 40 years. She's traveled to Iraq many times. She now joins me from Washington, D.C. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, where did the idea to have such a people's tribunal come about? What sort of other tribunals have you modeled this on?
Well, I woke up after we had disrupted the two conventions, asking for a president for peace, and realized we were not going to have one. And instead of getting sucked into the election season, I felt like we should create something that would be useful when the elections were over. So we outreached to over 500 people that had been part of trying to end the war in Iraq and asked them to testify. And we have 130 testifiers this week on Thursday and Friday that will speak to the lies and the costs of the war. And the reason I wanted to do this was I had been to other tribunals around the world over the last 13 years, and they just never got back to the United States. They weren't part of the media. They weren't covered. And even the amazing one that Iraq Vets Against the War did, the Winter Soldier, got little attention. And here we are moving into 2017 with not only the Iraq War still raging, but having destabilized the Middle East, having the war budget doubled, having so many people die, and it's not on the... Nobody knows about it. And not when I started, I didn't realize that not only does nobody know about it, but millennials know little about how much we were lied into the Iraq War and what it costs them, you know, what it costs them in the cost of education and healthcare and their communities and their future. So the idea was to raise up the lies and the costs of the Iraq War before we go into 2017. So that when anybody starts to push us into yet another war or yet another excuse for bombing or yet another excuse to send our troops somewhere, that we will remember that this is always from lies and the costs are innumerable and that we all bear them. The part about the tribunal that it's very different from other tribunals. I met with all the other producers of tribunals on the Iraq War and found out that what happened is that only the audience was in the room really got the tribunal. So we've made our attention as the audience that will watch the live stream that the real news will have on Thursday and Friday, and paid attention to growing our audience by connecting all the different groups that worked against the war to tell their stories. And the other piece is that it's testimonies that are 4 to 5 minutes long that will be accessible on the Iraq Tribunal website. So it's 130 different views from generals and from the State Department, from people in Congress, to people who've lost their children, to soldiers that deserted, to people who were in the media and watched the media lie. Those are the lies. And then the costs, costs continue from what it costs in dollars, to what it costs in lives, to what it costs the planet, which Bill McKibben will talk about, and goes to what it costs to, what, how it contributes to racism, Islamophobia, poverty, and the militarization of our streets. And Sarah Taylor, who's one of the co-founders of Dream Defenders, an organization in Florida, is curating the last few hours with really how this affects what happens in our cities and the $5 trillion that have been spent on war since 9/11. And instead of responding with an understanding and listening to why something like that would happen, we responded with violence. And I was in Iraq when Colin Powell lied to the UN and said there were weapons of mass destruction. And the next morning, people that we were visiting in Iraq came in our room and hands reached to the sky, said, "How am I going to protect my children?" And I think back to that moment and the terror, how terrorized everyone was in Iraq, and that we had just been terrorized, and that what we would do out of that was terrorize an entire country of 35 million people, a country that we have now destroyed. The testimonies that you will hear on Thursday and Friday are heartbreaking. But what you will hear from the women and men in Iraq is that it is a country that has been destroyed, that we did not bring democracy, that we divided the country, that we basically created a country of mafias that they all suffer from, and that those lucky Iraqis that had money were able to get out of the country, but those that weren't live in camps. They live in fear. And as one woman described when she goes to Iraq, the women look in their eyes and that their eyes that are already dead. So that we could do this and not be held, not have any sense of accountability. Until we have a sense of accountability, until we look at the lies, we won't be able to do anything to stop what's unraveling in the Middle East and that comes to our streets.
My guest is Jody Evans, and we're talking about the People's Tribunal on the Iraq War. It's going to be happening December 1st and 2nd of this. So that's this week in Washington, D.C., but you don't have to be in Washington, D.C. to actually view the proceedings. They're going to be televised by The Real News. And Jody, I understand there'll also be a live stream.
Yeah, it's a live stream that you can reach at the Iraq. It's just iraqtribunal.org.
That's iraqtribunal.org. And we'll give more information about that later. Let's stay on the issue of who else you have testifying, because it feels like, in addition to people here who have suffered the consequences of war, such as soldiers with PTSD, the primary victims, of course, have been Iraqis themselves. Will you have Iraqi voices as part of the witnesses that will be testifying?
Yes, we have a diversity of Iraqi voices, women, including Yanar Mohammed of the Organization of Women's Freedom in Iraq, who I met in Iraq actually before we shock and awed Iraq. And she has a deep commitment to the women. And from the very beginning, we've been supporting her work. Originally, it was to create safe houses for the women who were in danger as the society began to disintegrate into chaos, as the police and the military and the security forces were fired. And now we've been supporting her. She's been building safe houses for the Yazidi young girls that have been kidnapped into sex slavery. And she's been helping with an underground kind of railroad system to escape them from their the slavery and then keep them safe. You know, one of the things that's happening with Mosul as the ISIL is pushed back and the women are freed is they can't go home because they will be killed in honor killings because they've been raped for so long by the ISIL men. Other people, we have Omar Zaida, who was the head of UNDP in Baghdad that we met again before the invasion. He's a development expert and talking about how billions of dollars have been said they were spent in Iraq, yet Iraq is worse off than before we invaded, which was pretty bad off then because what we had done with sanctions had totally destroyed the fabric of the structure of development, but it hadn't destroyed the fabric of the communities. The communities had stayed together, it wasn't divided, and he's going to testify both about the divisiveness and about the utter insanity of the lack of development and the amount of money that was spent. And then there's Farouk. Farouk was an ambassador from Iraq to many countries, including Iran and Japan. And Farouk was also hired by Bremer as a special advisor to help put together the parliament. And he's going to testify about all the things he tried to do and how U.S. government got in the way, how they were really out for destruction, how what he says they it was about wag the dog, that they would do disruption and chaos and fund mafia leaders instead of democracy builders, and that kind of a front row seat to how the U.S. government destroyed Iraq's infrastructure and any form of governance. We have...
Go ahead.
We have another woman who's worked in development that goes back and forth between Iraq and Jordan, working on bringing support, who's just overwhelmed with the problem and feels that there's no real solution, given that there's a lack of money even coming to Iraq. The people have given up on Iraq. And really what's happened is given up on a country of, you know, 30 million people. Imagine that. Just they feel alone and abandoned and destroyed. So that's some of the voices that we will hear from Iraq. We'll also hear from the people who produced other tribunals, including the World Tribunal on Iraq, the Brussels Tribunal on Iraq, and what they've witnessed over these 13 years of people's voices being raised. We'll hear from filmmakers that covered the story about Iraq. And I would say for all of us, the shock. I mean, I remember when we started our efforts as Code Pink, which came about to stop the Iraq War, none of us could believe that, given all the lies and given what we knew, that this war could actually happen. And I think that there's still that sense of disbelief and shock in the catastrophe, the utter human, planetary, violent catastrophe that this has been, that has in a strange way been normalized.
And well, I mean, Jody, you and I and millions of people around the world marched against that war in early 2003 all over the world. And in hindsight, we were all right. And it didn't take that long to have that hindsight. Very quickly, the whole pretext for the war was revealed to be a lie. And you know, we were on the right side of history.
Yeah, that doesn't do us any good. Yeah. And that's why we feel the tribunal's goal is to call on Obama to create a commission on truth and accountability, to kind of lay all these stories at his feet and say, this is a human tragedy. If you do not call a commission on truth and accountability, you are responsible for what continues to unravel. And let me say that everyone that we talk to that's testifying from outside the United States definitely holds Obama responsible for his inaction and his incapacity to hold these war criminals responsible. I mean, the fact that he came into office and said, we're going to look forward and not backward, and does not understand, as a human being, every human being understands that you need to look back to heal. You need to look back to recognize where you made mistakes, to atone for those mistakes, ask for forgiveness for those mistakes before you can really move forward healthily. And this wasted 8 years. He didn't close Guantanamo. He did nothing that he promised. And you think of that early speech that he made to the Middle East in promising things, they feel betrayed, literally betrayed.
Yeah. Jody, the tribunal was obviously something that was not organized since the Electoral College win of Donald Trump. You said that it was after attending the political conventions in the summer that you started thinking about this, and probably you, like all of the rest of us, assumed Hillary Clinton would be elected. And so to me, that actually makes this tribunal even more important that it was probably organized with the assumption that you'd be facing a Clinton presidency. Now with a Trump presidency, everything is up in the air. However, Trump, one of the things he did do, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? He was able to point out the disastrous mistakes of the Obama administration and Secretary of State Clinton in Iraq. Of course, he doesn't seem to have much of a plan at all to tackle ISIS. What can this tribunal do to lay the groundwork for the coming Trump presidency as it relates to the Iraq war?
Well, we think by having the tribunal that it raises these issues for those kind of warmonger, really scary people that he's appointing. Because as we know that, the people with these appointments have a lot of power. And we also know he's somebody that gives power away and just wants to be like the king, prancing around. And so we're very concerned with some of his appointments and raising the issues, bringing the voices up, to build the anti-war movement again. A lot of what this was meant to do was bring us back together, have us work together, have us build together, especially in calling on the commission that, he may say he was against the Iraq war, which was just his way of distancing himself from Hillary. We still have a lot of wars waging out there. And to put it up that bombing doesn't work, that war hasn't worked, and that we have to continue to find ways to create pathways to peace. And one of those pathways to peace, which he says he wants, is accountability and truth. Because when we can say what we've done wrong and start moving in a different direction, the problem is we haven't, US has not learned a single lesson, and they continue to make the same mistakes. We continue to fund those people that were bombing, were, double spending. It's a proxy war right now in the Middle East that we're on top of with England and, kind of puppeting Iran and Saudi Arabia while they bomb, innocent people. That if he could take on the Commission for Truth and Accountability, we hopefully would be able to pull back and expose even more. We saw with his election that the politics and government of the United States, the curtains were pulled back on the Wizard of Oz. We want to have this be the start to pull back the curtains on war, destruction, militarism, because it's all lies and our fingers are all over it. And we'd love to get some of them off, start exposing what's happening and unraveling some of these complex, horrific situations.
Right. So, Jody, how can people participate in addition to going to iraqtribunal.org December 1st and 2nd, watching the proceedings? Are there ways for people to participate, even at this very late date we're interviewing you, on the eve of the tribunal happening?
Of course. When you go to iraqtribunal.org, there's six ways to participate. The first one is to send Obama the message to create the commission. The second is a coalition page where it has eight things you can do locally. And one of them is to gather your community to talk about what's the cost of war to your community. And there's a worksheet there. Because I think once we ground ourselves in, oh my God, I'm missing healthcare, I'm missing education, this cost, $1 million out of my local community that could have gone to my community, we help to build the movement we're going to need in 2017, because ultimately we live in a war economy and war serves that war economy. And by sitting down and recognizing how we live in a war economy, how we participate in that, only then can we, as peace activists, start to create the peace economy that we want to live in, because we can be against war all we want. But if we're not building what needs to replace this war economy, if we're not connecting with each other, if we're not finding the value in the giving, sharing, caring, thriving, relational, resilient economy that is out there, and without which none of us would be alive, we need to take our energy away from the war economy. War just serves that war economy. It's, as we said when we went to Iraq, it's no blood for oil. It was oil. It was the economy that drove us there. And to connect it right now to Standing Rock, where I was on Thanksgiving, cooking and serving two meals for 2,000 protectors. This is a rock to Standing Rock, no blood for oil. And what is happening in Standing Rock is accountability and truth. When you are in the blessings, when you are in prayer, every one of those sacred leaders speaks about truth and speaks about accountability. And when you are in the camp, what you feel is the power of both of those things. And that is what we have to be investing in. So we can call on Obama for it, but we need to be in the front lines and being it. And I, you know, encourage everyone to go to IraqTribunal.org. There are 6 ways to participate. And you can also join our Thunderclap that will announce to your followers to watch us on live stream Thursday and Friday. But also, if you can, go to Standing Rock before December 5th. That is the stand. That is where we put our bodies on the line and we stand for truth and accountability. This is really a place where what happened around Iraq has come home. It is the militarization. When I was there on Thursday, we at the top of the hill where the line of police were standing, at the very bottom of the hill was a line of tanks. This is military equipment being used against American citizens by people who were sworn to uphold the peace. The sheriff of the area where Standing Rock is said to the Los Angeles Times reporter when I was there, he said, what do you think about using water cannons and freezing air on the protectors? And the sheriff said, it worked, didn't it? Any means possible to keep the peace. I mean, they've all lost their minds. We have to continue to expose this. It's what happened to Iraq, what happened to Gaza is happening to our communities, and we have to continue to stand with them.
And very appropriately, a lot of contingent of war veterans are heading to Standing Rock as we speak to, in their words, provide human shields for the water protectors, put themselves in harm's way. I think some veterans sort of seeing what they're doing or the role they could be playing in Standing Rock as much more productive than the role they were made to play in Iraq. Well, Jody, thank you for all the work that you have done. We'll post all of the information for the Iraq War Tribunal from our website later today. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest is Jody Evans, co-founder and co-director of Code Pink. She's been a peace, environmental, women's rights, and social justice activist for 40 years. She's traveled to Iraq many times. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/RUwithSonali.